Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
That's why the Lord said, even after the Great Commission, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The reason the Lord says this is very important to us. And if you come away with one thing from this text or this message, this is it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are never alone.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
In 1950, 10% of all American adults live by themselves. Today, over 30% of all American adults live by themselves. They say by 2025, it could be 50% of all Americans will live by themselves. And that's a lot of loneliness. Now, the contributions to Paul's loneliness is obviously he's in prison, but there's more to it. Look at his despair. By the way, I know he's lonely because look what he says in verse 9. He's writing to Timothy, his young protege, make every effort to come to me soon. Make every effort to come to me soon. Timothy, please. Now, one of the reasons he's lonely is not just that he's in prison, but because some people have left him. He says, for Demas has loved this present world and has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas was also around Paul. He was one of the team. He's mentioned in the book of Colossians. He's mentioned in Philemon. Both of those are written about 5 years earlier. But apparently, when they saw what was going on with Nero and what was going on with Paul, Demas decided he loved the world more than he loved Paul, which also implies something else. He loved the world more than he loved the Lord. And he decides he's going to go to Thessalonica. And I think the reason he went to Thessalonica, of all the cities at that time, there was little persecution in Thessalonica. You see, the other cities around that area had a large Jewish population, and they were persecuting Christians. And the Romans were too, but Thessalonica was safe haven, and I believe that that's why Demas went there. But he had deserted Paul. En kata lipo is the Greek word. It means to abandon someone and leave them helpless. And then he says, Crescens has gone to Galatia, probably sent by Paul back to the churches of Galatia. Titus, who we have a little epistle called a pastoral epistle to Titus, he is in Dalmatia. That's just, by the way, north of Macedonia, northern Greece. Paul would send him. And then he says, only Luke is with me. Now, by the way, he's not saying it this way. Only Luke is with me. Like, the reason I'm so lonely, I only have Luke. Now, he meant Luke's the only one there whenever he can be with Paul. Luke's a special person. By the way, I don't know if you realize how special he is. He's the only Gentile that writes a New Testament book. Every other book in the New Testament is written by Jews. But not Luke and not Acts. Luke writes those. He's the only one with Paul. And then he says, pick up Mark, which is really John Mark, and bring him with you. He is useful for service. By the way, that's Paul's being a typical man there. I believe that's Paul's apology. Men are good at that. When men are sorry sometimes, they never really say, I'm sorry. They just simply act as though something's changed and you'll get it if you really look closely. You go back to Acts chapter 13. They go on the first missionary journey. Barnabas and Paul are together. They take a young man named John Mark with them. John Mark gets cold feet. He realizes, boy, this is not exactly what I bargained for. And he leaves and apparently goes back probably either to Antioch or to go back to Jerusalem. He leaves. They go on a second journey, and Barnabas says to Paul, John Mark's going to come with us. And Paul said, no, he's not. And he said, no, he's coming. And they get in an argument. Now, this is interesting. These are two most spiritual men in the world at the time. And they get in an argument about this, and so they decide to separate. They go two different ways because of John Mark. And Barnabas takes John Mark with him. And Barnabas was right. John Mark turned out to be a wonderful man. In fact, John Mark is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark, probably with Peter's dictation. And so this is Paul saying, would you find John Mark and bring him? He's useful to me. You see, I think it's Paul's apology. And then he says, but Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And so you have all of these people, and Tychicus is a servant, he was mentioned in Romans 12, that contributed to Paul's loneliness. The prison, the absence of people, and then in verse 13, physical discomfort. He says, when you come, bring the cloak, which I left at Troas with Carpus. Now, the cloak is very important to Paul. As I said earlier, he would probably be stripped down of everything but his tunic. This is a very cold and very damp place. And we'll find out in a moment that winter's coming. The cloak is all wool, and it's extremely heavy. It would look today a lot like a poncho. In other words, it'd have a slit in it, and you could put your head through it and wear it that way as a coat. But you could also take it off and use it as a blanket. And so Paul says, look, I left the cloak in Troas. Now, it's believed, by the way, that Paul was probably arrested in Troas, which is on the coast of Turkey, and then taken to Rome. So he says to Timothy, when you come, bring the cloak, which I left in Troas with Carpus, and the books. The books are the papyrus scrolls. Literally, that's what he's talking about. And I'm sure what they probably are is portions of the Old Testament. Portions of the Old Testament are written on papyrus, and I'm sure that Paul said, I want those. And then he also says something else. He says, especially the parchments. And the parchments are completely different. That's vellum. Those are made out of animal skins. A real long process, and they're extremely expensive. Now, some have speculated, maybe he had some of the sayings of the Lord, and that's what I'm not sure. I kind of agree with John MacArthur and a few others that say that what the parchments probably were blank. They were skins that Paul had, and he wrote on those. And he said, bring those. I have some more writing to do if the Lord lets me here long enough. And by the way, the Lord did not. Paul never wrote anything else after he wrote 2 Timothy. So you have this idea of the prison, the people who had left, the physical discomfort. He has little to do. There's not a lot to do, by the way, in like solitary confinement. There's not too much you can do there. And there's something else. He has real enemies. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on your guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. Alexander the coppersmith is exactly that. There's a possibility that he made copper idols. It's also possible that he was in Troas when Paul got arrested, and it's also possible that he was really instrumental in Paul getting arrested. Something else we kind of know about him, though, is that he may have stayed in Troas, but he also may be in Rome, because Paul warns Timothy and says to him, be on your guard against him. He is a real enemy. By the way, you got to love Paul at the end, though. Look what he says there. He said, he did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. He practiced what he preaches. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Paul wrote that to the Romans. Don't you take out vengeance on anyone. Paul isn't taking out vengeance on Alexander the coppersmith. He's just warning him. So he has not only prison, people left, physical discomfort, little to do, real enemies, and a real lack of support. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May not be counted against them. His first defense, apologia. We get apologetics from it. His first defense. There are two hearings in Roman law. The first one is called prima actio, and that's where you go and they give you they accuse you of whatever crime it is, and that's when people defend you and can defend you, witnesses, and then they decide whether a crime is there and there'll be a trial. The second one is called secunda actio, and it's basically to determine whether you're guilty or innocent. Notice what Paul says. Who stood with Paul? No one. By the way, does that sound like anyone else? It sounds just like Jesus. The same thing. By the way, Jesus have good core men around him? Did they stand with him? No. The greatest letter that Paul ever wrote was Romans. It's his greatest letter. That's his big work. So there's a church in Rome, and there are a lot of believers in Rome, and they owe their eternal salvation to God using the Apostle Paul to give them the gospel. Not only did he lead them to Christ, but he also then mentored and discipled them into Christian maturity. Here's my question. Where are they? When Paul is arrested, where are they? You see, sometimes what we think we can really count on, we really can't. And so there are all kinds of contributions here to Paul's loneliness. Let me just say this. There's something else here, though. This text reveals some things that are very important for us to deal with the whole subject of loneliness. I think there are four essential truths in this, and I think there are four needs that you have to meet when it comes to the subject of loneliness. The first need is kind of obvious. The need for companionship. Make every effort to come to me soon. Make every effort to come to me soon in verse 9. Look down at verse 21. Make every effort to come before winter. Timothy, I'm begging you. If you can get here, come. Paul says we need companionship. That's what we need. We were created for it. Some of you might be doubting. John Stott writes this. He says, one sometimes meets super spiritual people who claim that they never feel lonely and have no need of human friends, for the companionship of Christ satisfies all their needs. But human friendship is the loving provision of God for mankind. It was God himself who said in the beginning it was not good that man should be alone. Wonderful as are both the presence of the Lord every day and the prospect of his coming on the last day, they are not intended to be a substitute for human friendship. He's exactly right. You see, you need to have human friendship, companionship. Paul can count on Timothy. There's a whole church at Rome. They all deserted him. Paul can count on Timothy. I have a question for you. In the body of Christ, who can you count on? Do you have that kind of friend? You see, the churches have, over the years have really tried to address that in one way or another. In the 1850s or so, mid-19th century, the churches started Sunday school, first only for children and then eventually for adults, and they thought that way people would get to know each other. And then in the 1960s, and especially by about the 1970s, churches started to launch small group ministries. In other words, that will do it. But the problem with it is that may or may not work. He's not talking here about an acquaintance. He's talking about friendship. He's talking about companionship. You see, he can count on Timothy. And that's what Paul was speaking of. You know, it's interesting when you think about it, but in nations where Christianity is outlawed or Christians are really persecuted, even today, they make these kind of relationships right away. They don't say, hey, we, you know, where did you meet this friend? No, we have small group on Thursday night. They don't have it on Thursday night. They're being persecuted by the culture, but they find someone to latch on to, someone they can count on. And Paul could count on Timothy, and that's what he says. We need this kind of companionship. It's no accident, by the way, when you get to the New Testament, and especially even just the epistles, there are 39 one another's in the New Testament. 39 one another's we are to do one to another. We are to love one another. You see, we are to confess our sins to one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to exhort one another. We are to admonish one another. You see, we have so many one another's. Why does God give us those? Because we need one another. The question you have is, at a point in your life where you may have loneliness thrust upon you, do you have that person or those people? Are they there? We need companionship. Secondly, with this whole idea of loneliness, we need compassion. You see, when he says, when you come, bring the cloak, I'm sure as soon as Timothy heard that Paul needed the cloak, he felt compassion. You see, we need to have compassion when it comes to this whole idea of loneliness. Do you ever think about that much? Do you ever think about what believers you know that are lonely? Do you know any? Do you suspect any are? You see, really, for the rest of us in the body of Christ, those are people we have to try to touch their lives if we can. Loneliness is one of those strange difficulties to go through. No one wants to admit it. It feels funny to admit it. You see, if I'm a grown man, especially at my age, and I say to you, you know, I'm really, really lonely, what's your first thought? What is wrong with that guy? I mean, as old as that guy is, he couldn't find a couple people. So you don't say anything. Remember, you can be in the midst of the crowd. You see, you can be a very public figure. Albert Einstein was known by virtually everybody on the planet, and he said, I'm lonely. You see, do we think about those who are lonely? Do we have compassion? You see, sooner or later, and for many of us it'll be later, you'll experience loneliness. It'll be thrust upon you. How are you going to respond? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, says this about the compassion. This means initially simple assistance in trifling external matters. We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly canceling our plans by sending us people with needs and petitions. Do we have compassion for people who are lonely? So we need companionship, we need compassion, we need courage. We always need courage. Paul had it. Turn back and look with me at verse 6 and 7 of chapter 4. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. You think he knows he's going to be executed? And he was beheaded, by the way. Do you think he knows that's coming? Yes. Watch this. I love this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He's going to be beheaded shortly. He said, I fought the good fight. I stayed the course. I kept my faith. Boy, that's courage. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We need courage. You know, to face loneliness, you need courage. It takes real courage to deal with that. Think of how many times in Scripture you hear the words, especially from our Lord, fear not or take courage. See, courage is the antidote for the fear. But notice the courage is not based on your willpower. The courage is based on your faith. That's the point. That's what Paul was trying to say. I've kept the faith. We need companionship. We need compassion. We need courage. And the obvious fourth one, we need Christ. We need Christ. Notice what Paul says at the end of the section, verses 17 and 18. He says, but the Lord, after the people deserted him, he said, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued, he said, out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. And you think, wait, he's back to being optimistic. He was rescued once before, and now he's saying the Lord will rescue me again. He said, yes, he is going to rescue me. But watch what he says in the rest of the verse. He says, and he will, he says, bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. He said, I'm going to be rescued. I may be beheaded, but I'm going to be rescued. The Lord will rescue me. He's going to bring me into his heavenly kingdom. He said, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, because I have Christ, I will be rescued. That's what he is saying. That's why the Lord said, even after the Great Commission, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The reason the Lord says this is very important to us. And if you come away with one thing from this text or this message, this is it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are never alone. Not ever. That's what he's saying. You are never alone. You see, sometimes that's what Paul needed. He only had the Lord left. But he says, look, I love to have companionship, but I have the Lord. Now, when we lose the physical presence of the people around us, it seems to me that the Lord makes his spiritual presence all the more obvious. And that's what we need. Loneliness. God has said, not good for man to be alone. And boy, we know it's not from our own experience. I'm convinced that there will be a time in my life where I'll be alone. And I don't mean I won't have friends or family or I'm Methuselah and I'll outlive all you. I don't mean that. No, I mean there are certain times in your life you're just alone. Some of you have long periods of loneliness to deal with. Some of you are experiencing it right now. Loneliness. This example, Paul, really helps us deal with our fear of loneliness. We know what we need when we're lonely. We need companionship. Look, start creating those kind of relationships now with believers in your life so that when you have a need, they're there. We need to have compassion. We need compassion for people who are lonely. We have to think about them, pray for them, interact with them, do what we can. We also need courage. It's clear. You have to have faith and courage if you're going to deal with loneliness in your life, as with any other adversity. But most of all, we need Christ. We need Christ. Whenever you're feeling lonely, I would pray that the thing that you would think in your mind, as soon as you begin to feel its pain and the anguish of it, is that for this, I have Jesus. He can strengthen you. He can give you peace. Let's pray. Father, I'm afraid that when we deal with this subject of loneliness, I don't think in the body of Christ that we're real straightforward about it. I think sometimes we live in some sort of proudful pseudo-denial. No, we aren't lonely. We don't need anybody in our lives. But Father, you created us to need one another. You have established us as a single body of believers. All of us welded together. All of us making up one universal church. Father, I also fear that when we experience loneliness, we somehow feel threatened as to our own significance. And so we stay lonely. We don't talk about it. We don't share it. We don't do anything except experience deeper loneliness. Father, I pray that you would put these four needs in each and every one of our hearts. Our need for companionship and our need for compassion. And by taking those things together, that it would galvanize our courage and our faith to live out our lives together in a one another atmosphere. Father, we need Christ. Someone this very day is experiencing loneliness. May they find the sufficiency that they need in Jesus Christ, who will never leave them or forsake them. Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And I thank you that one day he will come for us or we will go to him. But Father, this day I thank you that he is here with us, each and every one of us who know him as Lord and Savior. For that I give you thanks. In his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gephardt, I'm Jason Gephardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.